Could you completely ignore a message like this? I don't think I'd possibly be able just to move on with my life like it never happened. She got a DM from her partner's ex saying, I need to really talk to you about this topic. And is it worth even meeting up to have a discussion about? I mean, I want you to be in these shoes for a second and see what you think. It's a new Ask My Mom, and it's today on our podcast. Welcome.
Hi, my name's Kramer, and I am proud to admit that I am a mama's boy.
You're not just any mama's boy. You're a certified mama's boy. And this is the Certified Mama's Boy Podcast.
We're here. Mostly here. Physically here, mentally, health-wise, not 100% today, but thank you for being a part of our podcast. If you're new to this, welcome. Thank you for pressing play. We're a podcast that's based in three principles: live, laugh, love your mom. That means we live our lives out loud. We laugh a lot, and we love my mom, my co-host Nancy Yancey. Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey.
Has anybody else ever overdosed on laxatives before?
Oh, no.
It's not highly recommended. It's only just one thing that's really been gone wrong since the last time that we all got together. And thank you for your patience this week. I know it's been, I don't know about this whole 2024. I'm not sure about how this year is going to go, you know? It's just, it's been rough.
Starting a little rough for you.
Well, it's really a continuation of 23. It's really, you know, what's really weird is that 40, you know, I thought 40 was really going to be, I really had optimism for 40. And it's really, it's not been good.
Well, you're almost 41 now.
Well, so I just keep saying that. That's what I said about 2020. I literally remember being thinking like 2020, like shit's really going to turn around. Like shit was so bad in 18 and 19. I was like, 2020 is going to be really good. And I'm going to like get my shit together and finally be happy. I just can't quite get it together. Anyway, I was sick. Yeah, I've been sick. And so some of you guys may have known that. And if you're wondering why this Mama's Boy episode is popping up at a weird time, I apologize. I had the radiothon, which was awesome.
Amazingly successful. 1.45 million. Is that
1.453, I think was the total without it
incredible.
Being in front of me, which is,
oh my God, radiothon record,
which is really good. I think that told you we were really apprehensive about it. In case you don't know what we're talking about, my radio station does a radiothon every year for 2 days where we, you know, just ask people to give money to the Children's Hospital, and it's awesome. And we raised I told you last time we talked, I think we were all kind of apprehensive this year. There's been a lot of change, and you know, with me running at 50%, it was, they'd gone through some staff changes over there. And I think we were all just a little bit nervous that, you know, this is the problem with being number one. I always say number two is a much better place to be.
I agree. A lot less pressure.
Like I never strive to be the number one radio show. Two and three, I think, is just a really great spot to be. There's never pressure to like stay where you're at when you're number two or three. And like, no one's mad at you for being second place for much of anything. It's still very, very highly, you know, whatever, like, you get a lot of credit for being second place or third place, right?
Yeah, first place remember is just, when we did that whole podcast magazine thing? We had to beg people to vote and keep up with all
to
that.
To stay up at number one, because if you fall from one, it's just terrible. Well, it's terrible. Yeah. So
it was
great, but
it was hard.
So that's the problem is like when you've got a station, this is the 35th year they've done it, and, you know, there's a lot of history in it. And being still a kind of a new player in this station, I think that there's just a lot of pressure, and just for the kids in general, like you just don't want to F it up by any means. But
oh no, those stories are so heart wrenching. I tell you,
it's a lot.
It's just a lot. I don't know how you did that not feeling well. I just don't know the emotional toll and the energy. Oh my goodness.
I don't know how I got through any of that. My dizziness was off the charts, and then obviously I was starting to get sick, and Friday especially I felt it. I'm like, I feel drained. I didn't really feel if I have like sickness yet, but I just felt drained, and I was like, well, maybe I'm just really tired. But then Saturday it all kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
the minute you let your guard down and could be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It took full opportunity. I mean, I haven't been sick in God forever, you know?
No, not like that.
So yeah. So one problem that I had is because I was just when you do any kind of marathon, you can't sit there and really plan your meals out that well. You have to really just kind of eat what's there. And it was just a lot of, you know, for me, they always kind of bring these vegan snacks, which is always just like, you know, crackers. It was just a lot of carbs. It had a lot of carbs for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And so Saturday, I mean, my stomach was, I was just not, not producing what it's supposed to be producing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to, this ain't good. And I need to take
cleanse
a laxative.
Myself.
Yeah. I got to take a laxative and like take care of this. And so I did, and I gave it some time, and it says it's supposed to produce a bowel movement in 6 to 12 hours. And so like the next day I wake up and I'm still like, I still can't quite poop. And that's not good. I mean, that plus I'm sick. It's like, there's just so much going on. And like, I'm like, all right, well, let me take another one. But honestly, since the first one didn't work, what if I took two?
Uh-oh.
So, if one's like not really doing that, I mean, and it kind of worked a little bit, but it was still, I'm struggling over here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, let me try to take two and see if that will, you know, maybe produce a normal poop then. If one's not really doing the job, then maybe two will really, you know, just be normal. So I take two and I take a nap, and all of a sudden I wake up, and you know that feeling. You know that feeling of like, this ain't going to be good. You know what I mean? I was like, that shit kicked in now for real. Like that's
literally.
Yeah, it's this is going to be wild, man. And laxatives, it's a real gamble. It's a real gamble when you take them, because it's almost like taking an edible. I would say edibles and laxatives are the same issue. It's because you never know how they're going to hit. And once they hit, you're in for the ride, right? Oh. So if you take an edible and...
What's an edible?
Marijuana, chewy substance. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. but like that's, I don't take edibles anymore. I haven't done in a couple of years, but I would. And like, I take them every time. It's like once it's in your system, like you just got to go through it. Like no matter what you're about to go through, you got to go through probably with any like illegal drug, right? Like once you put that thing in your system, like you know what you're signing up for and you're hoping it's going to be a good experience. Mm-hmm. I think that laxatives are like the adult's edibles. Like the legal, I guess even edibles are legal anymore, but it's like the non-narcotic, is that a narcotic? Is weed a narcotic? I don't think so. The non-druggy risk that you're taking is what a laxative is, where like it could really produce a great experience for you. If you're not feeling good, you could really get some great relief. But like they're so vague on what's about to happen to you, you just have to really commit to what's going to happen to you over the next whatever amount of time. It may be, you know, with weed, it's who knows, four hours. With laxatives, though, it can really, I mean, it was a 48-hour journey. So I was dealing with that. I woke up Saturday when it all started. I had like what was the only thing I can like really, I guess, relate it to it. Like, you know, like if everyone's had COVID, like the COVID headache, like it's bad. And I'm thinking like, I think I have COVID. I'm pretty
like
sure this is
like a migraine bad.
Not even like migraine, like close the door. I can't look at light, but like,
yeah,
just like this overwhelming, painful headache.
Oh.
Like when you move, you know, and like everything, like your head hurts when you move it. Cause like,
oh yeah,
it just feels like there's a damn like hot lava lock in your head or something like that.
And
you know what
course,
I mean?
And of course your world is still spinning.
Yeah. It's so here's the problem. Dizziness. It's like, right. So if I have my eyes open, like my headache's awful, right? So if I close my eyes, my headache gets better. Then I start spinning. It was like, I was literally y'all. And like, we don't have to get too morbid with it. I had really, really hard Saturday. Like I was really, I'm exhausted. I'm feeling absolutely awful. Like the spinning is, I mean, the radiothon was really hard. Like just, you know, trying to sit there and fake it and like just get through because it's important. It's like really hard on me. And like this dizziness is still not calmed down from the chiropractic. It's like, y'all already know I'm not in a good headspace. So like being sick on top of that was like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I just can't get through this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all this. Like, I just don't think I'm going to be able to get through all this.
Yeah.
And like my mom and I had to call my mom because I'm like, I don't know. Like, this mental space I'm in right now is so fragile that like I can't afford to be sick right now. Like, mentally, I can't afford to feel any more shitty than I already felt.
No. Mm-mm.
And I had to really ride out the weekend. So I wasn't on the radio show Monday, Tuesday. And so I'm just kind of, I'm like, I don't know. Am I probably 70, 80% better with the cold? Dizziness is still really rough. But it was important for me to hop on and do today's episode because there's just this immense sense of loneliness too when I get too far off track, you know. Also, Maggie FaceTimes me the absolute worst times to see the baby. I can't really spend a lot of time on FaceTime because it makes me sick, and like she always wants to like FaceTime me, and I'm like, I just can't FaceTime. She just literally did it right now as we're talking. Yeah, I don't know where we were, but anyway, it's like I'm so fucking lonely and depressed that like I'm trying to stay as normal as human, because there's nothing I want to do more than like crawl in a hole and just like not do any of this.
Mm-hmm. I know, honey.
So it's important to just hop on here and do this. So thank you anyway. Thank you for pressing play today. It's important stuff. So thank you for doing that. Wait, Maggie's nurse fell down the stairs. Is that what happened?
Oh my gosh. She fell down the steps outside their house. So John fell down the stairs inside their house.
Well, we didn't even talk about that. Are we going to talk about that or not?
Oh, geez. Yeah, we can now.
Okay. So it's been like, I don't know, man. I don't know what the world is. Everything's weird. You know what we need to do? Honest to God, you know where everything went to hell? And tell me if I'm wrong. When we stopped doing little victories, the world went to hell.
You're right.
Like, everything's been shitty on this radio, on this podcast, and since we've stopped doing little victories. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like, to turn the tide. Here's the thing. And we'll get back to the everyone's falling down the stairs story in a second.
Okay.
I have a really hard time with inauthenticity. Right?
Yeah.
And I listen to other podcasts, and I can tell they're faking it through it. That makes sense? Like, I know they're going through shit, and like, they're like, but, you know, and like it's like, what's the word they use? Toxic positivity.
Yes.
It annoys me when I know that things aren't good and people try to make things good. That like, that's something I've never wanted this podcast to be, but damn it, this podcast has been so heavy for so long now that I'm almost like, do we just need to add back in some positivity, like some forced positivity. I'm not going to call it like inauthentic, but some forced positivity.
Because there is something positive in every day. There is.
Aha.
Yes, there is. We don't look for it.
I gave up on that about 3 months ago.
You woke up this morning and you made it to work today. Woohoo. Yay.
Yeah. Some may argue that's
that's a great big victory, actually. But we can do little victories again. I love that.
I don't know if the show just needs some forced positivity. And tell me what you think about that, because you guys have been, and thank you, by the way, a lot of you guys reached out last week. Last week was a really hard episode. I couldn't do it.
Nope.
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to force myself to do it. I just didn't want to do it.
And but your fans love you enough to understand.
Yeah, you guys have been
and
great.
And appreciate that. Been so good.
So do we need to add some, I'm not going to call it like toxic positivity. Like, I don't want to do that. But do we need to add some forced positivity to the show? Like, have a stop down segment where we literally force ourselves to be positive like we did with little victories. Because I feel like maybe that's what's missing. I mean, I've really been struggling with gratitude, and I'm sure you can imagine.
Oh yeah.
Like, I love gratitude practice, and gratitude practice is really great when things are good and when they're like mildly not great.
Yes.
When they're shit and consistently shit for a long time, like after a while, you're like, everything is terrible.
Yes. All you see is darkness.
I don't know. Give me some feedback on that. And should we do, and I don't really know what it looks like yet. I don't know if it's a little victories. I don't know if it's like just the good news around the world. We used to do with the coronavirus news back in the day. I don't know.
Well, we could just share something positive today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have something positive to share.
Yeah. I don't. Give me your feedback. Give me your feedback and tell me really what we've been doing, because we've been really, we've reduced the show by what, 60% or whatever. It's like, we've really just been focused on like story-based things because you guys like the story-based stuff. But maybe we should like add back in just some kind of forced positivity segment. Anyway, everybody's falling down the stairs at Dramaggie's house. And this is not good. If you're new to our podcast,
so bad.
My sister has triplets and they're about 3 months old now. And for some reason, there's not a staircase that is that's safe right now, I guess you could say.
No.
What the hell? Tell us. I guess you have to tell us both. I didn't think we were talking about the John one, but let's go. Why not?
Well, we can now because now everybody knows about it. But at the time, so I think it was 3 weeks ago when I was there.
Yeah.
John was coming down the stairs with Jack, and he never, ever, ever wears his socks. They have hardwood floors, and they're slick as glass, and they also have hardwood steps, and he never, ever wears his socks. I mean, we just all know not to do that, but this particular night, he was up in the nursery. He'd slipped off his shoes. He had on his socks. Jack is really fussy sometimes, and he likes to be walked. And so he was fussing at the, 9:30 feeding. And I said, well, maybe he just needs a little walk. And John said, yeah, that's a good idea. So he started to walk him down the stairs, and he got about halfway. And all of a sudden I hear this, thud, 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 Maggie.
Oh, God.
Oh, my heart sank. Whichever baby I was holding, I'm pretty sure I put that baby back in the crib. We're not real sure if I took him down or not. Anyway, I think I was with Charlie. And I got to the top of those stairs, and there was John lying flat on the floor, parallel to the stairs, with Jack on top of him. And here comes Maggie flying around the corner. She was downstairs, and she grabs Jack, and I screamed, John, John. Maggie said it's the loudest scream she ever heard. She thought he was dead from, just from my scream. And so I came flying down the stairs. I'm trying to deal with John. Maggie took the baby, and we're like trying to decide what to do. John's like, oh, my side hurts. I think I cracked a rib. I don't know. I feel a little nauseous. So he kind of gets himself up after a few minutes. And, Maggie's already checked out the baby, and he's checking out the baby. Oh, my God, is Jack okay? I mean, everybody's hysterical. And I said to Maggie, call 911. Just call 911. We've got to know. We've got to have some eyes on these people. So 911 came, which meant the paramedics with the fire department. And
I didn't know all that happened. I didn't hear this part of the story.
Oh, yeah. So they came and they looked at the baby and they said, I don't see anything wrong with this baby, but, if you want to take him to Children's, you can, or we can call the ambulance, but I really would advise you to take, him yourself. And they looked at John and said, yeah, you might have a cracked rib. You should probably go, and have that checked out. Anyway, they leave. And Maggie and John load up. Had the night nurse gotten there yet? Oh, no, I think she came right after that. And they load up Jack. They go to the hospital. And, of course, they have to wait, 3 hours or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, he was fine. John went on about his business for, several days. And then finally went to the doctor like 5 days later. only to find out he does, in fact, have a fractured rib.
All right. R.I.P. that, by the way. That'll never be, that'll never heal now.
No.
I something happened to my rib, and like they're still not quite sure if it's ever going to get better.
Mm-hmm. He said in school he fractured a rib in soccer, playing soccer, and it's still not right. So
yeah.
All right, so that was John's fall, right?
Okay. I feel like we should tell these stories in reverse, because I feel like this other story is not as dramatic, but...
Yeah, well, whatever. Anyway, that was the first fall, okay? Everybody survived that one. We got through it. The next week, the night nurse calls texts Maggie on Thursday afternoon and says she can't come in. She was... Now work Sunday through Thursday. She can't come in because she's got a health problem or something. She didn't tell her she had fallen down the steps. And Maggie was like, okay, you know, when do you think you'll be back? And she's like, I'm not sure. Long story short, she calls her the next day and said, I was too embarrassed to tell you, but I fell on your steps outside.
I it's not funny. Neither of these stories are funny, but you have to admit it's kind of weird. Like we had two stair injuries in like days apart.
Crazy, indoor and outdoor.
Yeah.
And then Lori says, I mean, she's got a cute sense of humor. This is a night nurse. She says, "Did y'all just have chicken shit put on your yard, maybe?"
And Maggie's like, "Chicken shit?
Yeah, it's like manure."
Yeah.
And Maggie said, "Lori, I hate to say it, but we've done nothing to this yard since we've been here." She said, "Well, I'll tell you why." She said,
"Your yard smells like shit. Just need to know that."
She said, "I got in my car."
Now, I don't want to judge you and your family, but your house smells like fucking shit outside. So
now remember, this is 6 a.m.
Has nothing to do with anything, but your yard is very stinky.
Yeah, this is 6 a.m. She gets in her car. She's trying to drive her home, which is an hour away. And she gets a few miles down the road and she goes, "Oh God, I smell something. It smells like chicken shit." Anyway, she was like, "Oh, it must have been something on the ground." She gets home. Her husband takes one look at her and says, "Get in the car. We're going to the ER." And so she got in the car. He gets a few miles down the road and he says, "Do you smell chicken shit?" And she said, "It's me." And he said, "Why do you smell like chicken shit?"
What is... I don't think I could pick out a chicken shit smell. That's very odd that both of them could uniquely pick out a certain mammal's, certain poultry's feces.
They live on a farm in Tennessee, I think. Anyway, she told him what happened. He said, "Man, that's bad."
Wait, so what was the smell?
I don't know. Maggie said she doesn't know what it was in her yard.
But did she end up stepping on something?
No. I mean, she had it on her shirt.
I think it might be this woman's own smell. Like, if she didn't step on anything, what would the yard have to do with anything? So did this woman convince herself that she stepped on chicken poop and that's why she slipped?
No, she convinced herself that she fell in it, like on her side.
Oh.
When she fell off.
But there was not any, indeed.
She fell off the stoop. No, not indeed, that Maggie knows. Indeed. Maggie, like, we don't have any chickens around here.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
I don't know. I just don't know. But that was the funny part of that story. Anyway, The night nurse has not been back. It's been a week now. She hopefully will be back tonight as we're recording this. It's Wednesday. But in the meantime, she found a colleague in Nashville, which is an hour and a half away from Maggie, that could come, but she had to have a place to sleep. So she slept in the condo. So we basically crossed paths.
I think we're giving out too many details for like the point of the story. But
okay,
like, so
it.
Is she? So now some stranger taking care of these babies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Somebody Maggie had never met, but she turned out to be
Maggie's
delightful.
Desperate. She's like, "Listen, I don't care. Somebody's got to take care of these babies, and it ain't me."
And Lori, the night nurse, said, "I wouldn't send you anybody that I didn't know and trust." And so,
okay, this is the same woman that thinks she slipped on chicken shit. So I don't know if we should be using her as a
oh, God.
Straight
so, I mean, as if just having triplets and keeping up with them is not enough in and of itself. We've had these two horrific things to happen.
You know, I'll tell you about the night nurse thing really quick. And like, tell me how you feel about this. Like, you know, it sounds like Dramaggie's freaking out because she doesn't have help at night, right?
Right.
But it almost sounds so privileged to say, I have someone that comes and takes care of my baby. I mean, I guarantee you any parent at night
would
love to have somebody come and take care of their child for them.
It is a privilege.
Right.
And trust me, Maggie and John do not take that lightly.
So isn't this just part of parenthood? You know what I mean?
I mean, for the average American, yes. But fortunately, they have the means to hire them. And John's on call. If he's on call and he has to go in and do a surgery at midnight, Maggie would be there by herself.
Yeah, it's just chaotic.
No, it's just chaotic not, situation. It's not sustainable. No,
wait,
it's not
you said you had some good news to share?
Oh, yeah, I have some good news to share.
What's that?
So I went to my acupuncturist today because I broke out in a rash on Thursday in Knoxville.
Yeah.
And I did a telehealth call on Friday and she said, I think you have shingles. And I flipped out. And I was like, oh, my God. And she said, well, it's not harmful to the babies. And we call the pediatrician. No worries.
Didn't you already have a shingles outbreak not too long ago?
20 years ago.
No.
20 years ago. Years ago.
Well, time flies. I remember not being that long ago. And you had some kind of skin, something going on.
So the good news is I went to the acupuncturist today because it really didn't seem like shingles to me. And there was only that one red rash on my neck and I've had them before. I didn't have any other symptoms. I felt fine. And she said she thinks it's an allergy to something and that I have parasites.
Yay!
Yay! But I don't have shingles.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so happy to hit. Like, it's pretty bad when our forced good news segments, my mom has parasites.
Well, but that's better than shingles.
That's, I guess. Is it, though?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think it is.
I've got to do the whole detox thing.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, I think that's actually probably a little bit where I think shingles goes away in about 2 days.
She gave no, it does not. It takes like a month.
Oh.
And she did a light therapy on me, and she gave me some Chinese herbs, and all was well. She didn't give me anything, but you know what I'm saying.
I'm realizing that my health anxiety is really to be blamed on you and Dad.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Why?
I just realized that we're not like most people.
What do you mean?
So and tell me where, like in your life, what you would have done. So like, you know, I'm having these cold symptoms, flu symptoms, and like my mom's like, well, you're gonna go to the doctor, right, to go see what it is. And I was like, well, no,
I do believe in going to the doctor, and anytime anything happened with y'all, we rush to the doctor.
Yeah, I think I honestly
will confess that
I think that like you really kind of effed me up in a lot of ways when it came to that, because I don't think that if most, like, for example, let's just say you had cold, maybe flu. I don't know. It wasn't COVID. I took three COVID tests, all negative. You know, each day I just took one just to make sure.
Yeah.
Because if that was the case, I really needed to be careful before going back to work. But
yeah.
I think our family is really hyper vigilant when it comes to going to the doctor. Yeah. My mom was like, well, she's like, well, you're going to call the doctor, right? And I was like,
had a fever.
Yeah, I had a fever, but I think that like most, I don't think most people would have like called the doctor because they had a fever for a day and had like what would be considered cold symptoms. And then like the next day she's like, well, you're going to go to the doctor, right? And I'm like, I'm not going to go to the doctor over cold. I mean, I've been to the doctor 77 times literally in the last 6 months.
Oh, God, when you said you thought you had the flu.
But still, even if I had the flu, like, what are they going to do? To be like, well, you know what? Guess what? You got the flu. And then I'd be like, cool. And then I'd go home and I would keep doing what I was doing.
Drink fluids and take Tylenol.
Right. Like there's nothing I could really do about it. But you still thought it would be important for me to go to the doctor. And I think I'm like, is this health anxiety? Is this really because of the way that I was brought up? Like, could I be handling all this concussion stuff? And don't get me wrong, like it's bad. I think anybody being dizzy for 6 months would really struggle because it just takes over your whole existence, right?
Yes.
But man, like I remember when I tell a story, especially to Jess, I mean, she has to, you know, she might, she'd have to take like an axe to the arm before she might go to the doctor or something, you know? And most people I work with typically are like, wait, why are you on the doctor for what? Like, for what reason? But I don't think most people would go to the doctor because they had cold symptoms, you know? Like, the last thing I want to do is add one more damn doctor's thing. I've got something medically going on that I'm going to save. I'm not going to tell my mom because she'll freak out. But like, I don't even want to go to the doctor because I'm so damn sick of going to the doctor that like, I'm almost just willing to like risk it for a while and see if it just gets better by itself. Because I think most people having this symptom might get kind of nervous, but I'm just like, we're not doing it. I'm not going to one more gosh dang doctor's visit that I have to now. I just,
well, don't tell me about it because I'm worried enough about what you're already going through.
There's a lot going on over here.
And I can't see you. That's the thing. I can't.
Well, I'm not
my
well.
Eyes on you to know how sick you really are, and that's sad. I wish you lived 3 hours away.
Yeah, well,
then I would drive to see you.
Let's do a quote for today, Mom.
Okay, it's from Thoreau. Could a greater miracle take place than for us to look through each other's eyes for an instant? Just for a minute to imagine someone that you're in conflict with. Try to imagine just for a minute seeing the world through their eyes and their experience. That would be a beautiful thing. It could change the world, honestly, if we would do that.
You're on a roll. I'll let you keep going.
Amen.
Okay, well, there we go. We can all eat dinner now.
I mean, that is fair. That's so true. And especially when you disagree with someone, before we jump on them and express our opinion, can we just stop for a minute and wonder what in the world is going on with them?
As I'm getting older, especially as I'm doing this radio show, I'm like starting to really dissect a lot about seeing things through the other people's eyes. Really, what I think you're doing is seeing things through other people's traumas. We do a lot of advice segments on our show, and a lot of like story based. Kind of, it's like, you know, if you've never heard the radio show before, it's a lot of like relationship. And that's any kind of marriage, friendships, you know, work relationships, dilemmas. And like, those are the stories we usually gravitate to when we're thinking about who to bring on the air and stuff like that. Right. Mm-hmm. And the calls that we get are so wildly passionate, and it always has to do with they've been through that same painful situation before. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like a really, you know, passionate response through the experience of somebody else, right?
Yes.
So seeing through, but here's the question. Are we seeing through other people's eyes? Or are we seeing through other people's traumas? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, are we, like, for example, I get cold symptoms. My mom's like, you got to go to the doctor, you know? I mean, through my mom's experience, like that's what she thinks is the best thing to do. No, I don't really think it is, you know, like our perspectives.
Well, you live with someone with cancer for 25 years. That plays into it too. Just saying.
See, there you go. Right?
That's right.
So am I supposed to, because my mom says go to the doctor and that's her perspective, is that the right answer to go to the doctor if you ever have cold symptoms because she's lived with somebody with cancer for 20 years? For her, probably. But for me, I don't think it is. And so, like, I'm having a hard time with this whole, you know, and I'm really trying to, I think Jess and I do it really well with each. We know each other so well. We've known each other for about 9 years now. It's like, God, almost as long as my ex-wife and I were together for 11 years, 10 years, 11 years. So I've known Jess for almost as long. And, like, we know each other's traumas so much that I think we know how to know when the other one is kind of speaking out of trauma and almost how to like avoid those conversations. Not avoid, but like know that like it's going to be a hot button issue with that person because of their trauma. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I think knowing, God, like in hindsight, like looking back at my marriage, like there's so many things, arguments now that I can relive that, like, I don't think my ex-wife and I were like really, really fighting about much of anything other than like her trying to like work through some of her shit.
Mm-hmm.
And me working through some of my shit. And like, so instead of saying like seeing through other people's eyes, like what if you could just see other people's traumas?
Well, that would be looking through their eyes, wouldn't it?
I guess.
That's their life experience.
But it's like seeing through someone's eyes just sounds so lovely. Versus like seeing through somebody's traumas, like just feels like, man, you got to really like, none of us are really, I mean, I don't know. I've done like, obviously like a lot of work on this stuff. Right. And like, I think the more you realize how much stuff you're even going, like just playing out some of your traumas.
Yes.
Like, damn, like, what are we even talking about? Most of us are really just trying to heal from some shit we've been through in the past.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So,
we're
like,
all living through our own experiences.
Yeah, we're just like basically all trying to slowly heal some shit that's already happened.
Yes.
And healing takes a long time, and then we just keep kind of like adding trauma on top and top and top and top until where like we can't even get to what was like on the bottom. Anyway, here's my one piece of advice when it comes to this, when it comes to like a relationship, is I swear to God, if you can like get to know your partner's traumas, you'll have a completely...
If they're even in touch with it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like you have to figure out yours and you know, each other's shit, like on your own. You got to figure out your own shit. And then to learn that though, I think it's so valuable because you realize, wait, like, where is this really coming from? Like, I promise you, like, there's probably so many things that your partner takes out on you from their like childhood or their, you know, previous relationship that has nothing to do with you. Like, you guys are over here fighting about like the, I don't know, the cabinets being open, but like, why? And, oh, well, because my dad would always come home and after a hard day and he'd fling the cabinets open, you know, like.
Well, that was a quote a few weeks ago by Sharon Salzberg, that what we are normally fighting about in relationships has nothing to do with what we're actually fighting about.
Yeah, 100%. You know? So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Listen, maybe that's your takeaway of the day is like, God, really break, and maybe even you, like the things that you get, another side quote. Maybe this is more of like a fable. I don't know, a fable or like a saying, but I heard it one time and I find it to be almost 100% true, which if it's hysterical, it's historical, right? Mm. If you're finding yourself getting really worked up over something, it's probably not actually about what's going on in front of you, but like the meaning of what's actually happening beneath it.
Yes.
No. Let's take a quick break here. I do got to thank our friends over at Care Up for being a part of our podcast this week. Using tools like Care Up is just a great thing. I mean, basically what they do is they have research-backed ingredients and have like optimal doses for like feeling good and like getting you to the goals you want to. And you go on, you take this short, simple online quiz about your health goals and your lifestyle, and they're going to send you these doctor-backed recommendations of what supplements, powders, and vitamins you should be taking to feel good. And you're going to then kind of put together your perfect little packs, and every day they're going to send you a month supply of these little daily pouches that you open up, and it's got your perfect supplements in it to really optimize your body to feeling good. We got to prioritize things, man. If you want to be happy, like happy is healthy, healthy is happy, and Care Of's a great tool. If you'll go to takecareof.com, you can learn all about their whole system, how it works. I'm a big fan of these guys. And 50% off your first month is great. So take advantage of that discount. Takecareof.com. Enter the code Kramer50 for takecareof.com for 50% off your first month of Care Of. I want to play you this audio really quick that I found. Really quick, before we do, thank you to all of our certified fans. So this is going to be like our show this week. In case you don't know, we have a hidden secret show for certified fans that's called More Mama's Boy that usually appears on Thursday. This show typically appears on Tuesday called Certified Mama's Boy. Then we have a hidden show called More Mama's Boy. And this week, because things have been crazy, we were not, and I hate that we had to do this, but this is going to be the show this week. But typically we do two shows a week, and that hidden show is available to anybody that wants to be a supporter of our show. It's called More Mama's Boy, and Certified Fans is what gets you there. It's a $6 a month contribution to our show. And you know what I heard probably twice in the last 2 weeks is people, which is flattering, don't get me wrong. I've had two people say, I don't even know how to get this, the More Mama's Boy show. I'm a certified fan. I don't even know how to get the bonus podcast. And I'm like, well, first of all, that's really nice just to support.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
and to not even get the bonus show. But it's really easy. You basically just have to subscribe to our hidden show, our secret show. And over there, it's a lot looser. Today's been pretty loose, but it's just a lot looser. And it's like the podcast I've always dreamed of having. Because obviously is like someone that is always in the public spotlight, like to have a spot where I can go and just truly just like talk about whatever and not have to worry about it. Cause there's just like our fam that like, it gathers around the podcast. It's so intimate and it's a great show. And it's called More Mama's Boy. And you'll get that, and you'll get the Certified Fans page by becoming a certified fan. And you can text the word fans, F-A-N-S, to 888-Kramer-8, or go to certifiedmamasboy.com, or you can go to the show notes of this podcast and become a certified fan. And just thank you for the support again. Like, man, I don't think you realize how much this podcast, even though, yes, it's a responsibility, but man, it's so therapeutic to just come on here and not have to think about smiling through hard days and being able to talk through a lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. and to have your support. So for anyone that contributes and is supports our show, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully you'll consider it and you'll get that bonus show as well. And we'll be back on normal schedule. God willing. I'm not going to commit to anything anymore. I'm just going to say, you know, it's scheduled to be out every Thursday. And we're going to do our damn best to get it there.
That's right.
I want to play this audio for you. I think this is, I need a mom's advice and now a grandma's advice. This is a video from the 1950s from a mom to her daughter. And this was basically like a coming of age VHS or something that you might show like your teens. And a lot of you guys are actually going through this now, as some of your kids are starting to get into like the love age, right? Where they're starting to get boyfriends and stuff. This is funny because it's been going around about like, this is parents' advice back in the 50s of how you should, attract the opposite sex or try to like woo them. Listen to this.
Well, Lucy, if Tom called you up, you'd know how to talk to him.
Of course.
I know how it is. And sure, it's easy for me to talk. But now, try to understand this. Just as sure as I'm sitting here next to you, before long you'll be able to talk like the wind with any boy who calls you up. Now, believe me, you will. And right now, you're just, well, you're becoming an adult, you know. Now, I know, you know that's not easy. But it seems to me, dear, that, well, I think the thing to do if you're worried about this phone business is to try to think of a way of getting the better of it.
Oh, what sort of way?
Well, why don't you pretend that whoever calls you is Tom? Have the feeling that you're talking to your brother.
I don't think that would work. I just run out of words again.
Oh, well, it may not work, but there's no harm in trying, is there?
Yeah, back in the 1950s, the advice that the moms were giving their daughters was just to act like
you're talking
your romantic
to your
interest
brother?
Is your brother.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, there's not a better podcast in the world that should discuss this than Certified Mama's Boy.
Oh, no.
Do you remember those years, Mom? Like those weird dating years? I don't remember us really talking about much of anything. I think most of us had to figure out. I probably did talk to most of them. Like I was my sister, which I was single most of my childhood. But do you remember those years of having to – did you ever have to – do you remember giving me any kind of like romantic advice back in the day? I don't think either of you guys did.
No, I remember with a certain girl that you dated when you were like 15 and she was 16 and she could drive and you couldn't.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. What
and
about
I
it?
I said, be careful. She's a little old for you.
1 year older.
Yeah, 1 year. Well, she was. And you know you got in trouble with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did.
I don't know if that's like... First off, that's the only advice you gave me. Shame on you.
I honestly don't remember sitting down with you and saying, okay,
she's 16.
Steven,
and what trouble do you refer to? What trouble are you referring to?
Well, she slept over one night when your gran was there, remember?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what you actually did know and what you didn't know before I incriminate myself.
So I know you had sex with her.
Oh, well, yeah, just sure. Because we're spending the night doesn't mean we're having sex.
Oh, no, I'm sure you didn't. Yeah. I'm sure you stayed down there and watched TV all night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't remember, like, do you remember, like, what we talked about after, like, that? I don't even remember you guys talking about that at all.
I'm sure we had some conversation, but I don't recall it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember us, like, having a conversation about that at all. I remember it happening, but basically I was dating a girl that, she went to a different school and she had, she was older. Yeah, she had a car. And so my parents went out of town and my grandma was staying with me. You know, it's like your grandma, like, what are they supposed to know? And I remember my girlfriend at the time, she was like, I'm just going to drive over there. And we were trying to figure out where she could park her car. And she parked it like in front of the neighbor's house.
Right.
Which, like, I didn't think that, like, because we were going to park it like behind, we lived on like, our house backed up to like a street and she was going to park it back there. But I'm like, oh, you can't park it over there. Like, the cops are going to like show up and wonder why the hell there's a car like parked. You know, we didn't want to get towed or anything. So she parked it like in the street in front of the neighbor's house. And how did Granny even know? Grandma's just no shit. It was just weird. I was like, wow.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember like how she even told you this?
I don't know.
Okay, what a narc, Granny Yancey. Okay. Can a teenage boy just be a teenage boy?
No, I don't know how she knew.
I don't remember getting any relationship advice from you whatsoever, though, ever.
No, probably not.
Other than that, so I remember that moment, and then I remember...
We just tried to model healthy relationships.
Well...
Which is, the dad travels and the mom stays home with the kids. Works out great. All is well.
All right, let's do... I know that we're running kind of late. Let's do Ask My Mom. This one's kind of urgent. I just got this one yesterday and I'm like, wait a minute, we got to talk about this. This is our advice segment in case you're new to this. If you ever have a dilemma you're going through and you want us to talk it out, we do a segment called Ask My Mom. And you can go to certifiedmamasboy.com or you can just send me this came over DM. I just kind of converted it into an email. But yeah, just let us know your situation. My mom's been a mom now for almost 45 years. Ooh. And she's now a grandma. And so she can give you some good advice, and we'll hop in as your podcast family, give you our two cents as well. So what's happening today, Mom?
Okay. Dear Mama Nancy, my new boyfriend's ex-girlfriend from 11 years ago, reached out to me on Facebook and wanted to get together so she could elaborate on why they broke up, saying that overbearing and possessiveness was only the start of it. I've been with him for about 4 months, so I'm just getting to know him and his boys, but he doesn't seem to be either of those things. He's been married since this relationship, and it's all really confusing. She asked me not to tell him that I reached out because, it should be that she reached out, because he would try to deny everything and told me talking on the phone isn't safe, so we could meet in a public place, but I'm not sure if I should do it. What if he's a total psycho and I need to know before it gets too serious?
Yeah.
My best friend said, what if she's totally psycho? Either this girl is crazy or really worried about what happened to her and that may happen to someone else. What should I do? I think the girl sounds a little psycho. I would go with what I know to be true in my experience with this person versus someone that was in a relationship with him 11 years ago. I just, no, I wouldn't.
You would just completely put it out of your head? I mean, yeah, I think that'd be kind of tricky, man. Like, yes, think about who all of us were like 11 years ago. Like I was over here drinking beer.
Joke.
And like I'm a pretty different person than I was 11 years ago.
Of course.
But here's the counterpoint to all of that. If there is somebody that is 11 years later still upset about something,
maybe she's got a problem, needs to go to therapy.
Or maybe something's really bad. I can't think of many things. Like, there's not many things that 11 years ago still bother me.
But what if she does tell her some crazy story about he's some kind of psycho? Is she going to believe that? It might be a lie. You know, I wouldn't put any credence in it, honestly. I would just go with what my experience is with him.
There's just a lot of red flags in this to me. Like, I'm just trying to imagine if I started dating somebody. This is still fairly new, right? 4 months is fairly new. And if somebody from 11 years prior said, listen, I can't even call you on the phone and talk to you about this because it's not safe. Mm-hmm. There's just like not safe is a pretty big. What's the word? Like, I mean, that's an issue. If like you can't talk about it on the phone. Mm-hmm. Like that's clearly an issue.
Right.
I mean, y'all have been doing this a long time and talking about relationships a long time. I can't think of many things 11 years later where somebody's still out to like get vengeance. Now, this is some girl that broke up with him 6 months ago, a year ago. Sure. Like, obviously, there's some like unhealed or, you know, I just can't think of many wounds that 11 years later, unless they were really bad.
So you would meet up with him? With her?
I think I'd have to do something. And I think I'm trying to think what I'd actually do in this. I think I would have to go and say something to him/her in the situation, my situation, right? Like, be like, hey, listen, this is weird, but I got a message from somebody and kind of see how my partner reacted first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no harm in that.
And it like they were like, oh, yeah, like I but I said, don't bring it up because like what if it's really bad? I mean, I've watched so many damn terrible Netflix specials.
I know.
That, like,
true crimes.
Yeah, people are awful. Like,
I know. It's
people
true.
Can be really, really bad. And so, I mean, what are we going to do in a year's time if we get a message back and it was like, well, I took your advice and like I didn't go meet up with this girl and like he robbed me of all my money. And then I called her and she was like, yeah, he robbed me too. You know, like, I don't think I could sleep not knowing what that was about.
Well, then give her a phone call and see what she says. Don't meet her.
I think that's probably fair. I think it's probably fair to say, I don't feel comfortable having a phone call. I mean, meeting in person, but like, can we talk on the phone or something? I don't know. Like, what's the answer here? Let's get some advice. Cause like, could you really just like push that out of you? Like 11 years prior, and this person's still upset about something and feels the need over a decade later to reach out to you and say, I need to talk to you about what happened with this person. I mean, I've heard a lot of weird ex revenge stories. I don't think I've heard of anything 11 years later and still needing to like settle the score, you know?
Mm-hmm.
888 Kramer8's our number if you want to call, or you can text us, or you can, you know, certified fans, we'll talk about it over on the page. Okay, that's our shows for this week. Again, thank you for all your patience. Really appreciate it. We should be, I mean, who knows when we may have an alien invasion next week. I'm just, our goal is to put out 2 episodes next week. And that's going to be the goal. And Mom, that's going to do it for you today. I love you.
Thank you all for your love and support. Love you forever.
Okay. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about, but that's going to do it for this week. I hope you will consider becoming a certified fan. I got such a dark story I need to tell you, but I just got to make sure I'm doing this right, man. It's been so weird behind the scenes. Yeah. It's just been weird. It's just been weird, right? Is life weird for anybody else, or is it just me it's been really weird for recently? Where it's like, why is everything so just... Okay, I'm going to go get another tissue and get well. And then next week, we're back. All right? Have a great week. Thank you again for being here.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to my son's podcast, Certified Mama's Boy. Be sure to review and subscribe and tell your friends. Love you forever.